Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
When the devil says no one cares, when the devil says no one's there, when the devil says you're not going to make it one more day, there's an unseen helper praying for you. There's the Spirit of God living in you. There are ministering angels watching over you. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and you and God make a majority. And if God be for us, then who can be against us today?
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how He can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called, Our Unseen Helpers.
In the Christian life, we sometimes forget that when trials and troubles and feelings of oppression come our way, it is because of the truth found in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I trust that you're aware this morning that Satan is a powerful spiritual being and that his demons are active. I trust you're aware this morning that not all of the angels are good angels, but that one-third of the angelic host denied and rebelled God, against God, and that they are fighting against the people of God at this very day. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a husband and wife against one another. It's not two people against one another. But there is oftentimes a spiritual warfare taking place, a spiritual battle, with unseen demonic powers fighting against us. Now, while there is undoubtedly a demonic presence in the world today, we as Christians have help and we have hope that is not known or seen by this world. God has provided hope for us. Now, there are hundreds of things that we see God doing. We see the Bible. We see souls that are saved. We see Christians at work. But there are many things that we never see. There are ways that God is helping us that are unknown to the natural eye, yet they are as real as anything else in our life. A good example of that is found in the text we read a moment ago. In our text, the prophet Elisha has come to the village of Dothan, where he often retreated. And there one morning, he and his servant awaken. His servant looks out to the hillside all around him, and he sees that the Syrian army has come to surround the people of God. And when he sees this amazing sight, he asks a question in verse 15. He says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He says, "Elisha, they're surrounding us. What in the world are we going to do?" Like many of us, Elisha's servant was overwhelmed with the circumstances that he was facing. How many of you have had days in your life where you felt like the enemy had you completely surrounded? Did you ever have a day like that? And it just seems like there's problems everywhere and trials all around us. Well, if you want to know what to do in those moments, let's learn something from Elisha, the prophet of God. Look what he does. The Bible says in verse 17, "And Elisha prayed." And Elisha prayed. You see, Elisha knew something that the young servant did not know. And there's a reason why many of the prophets were called seers, S-E-E-R-S. Because as holy men of God, they saw some things that perhaps others did not see. The fact of the matter was, Elisha knew that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Elisha knew that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Elisha knew, according to verse 16, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Sometimes when you're in a battle, the devil wants you to think that you're all by yourself. There's no way you can win. You cannot have a godly home. You cannot raise holy children. You cannot have revival in America, so the devil says. Isn't it good once in a while to be reminded of the fact that they that be with us are more than they that be with them? And in this unseen spiritual battle, when it seems like we feel the opposition so oftentimes, the eye of faith sees the reality of God's divine presence and the protection that is available to us by God's divine helpers. All of a sudden, as Elisha prays, the Lord opens the eyes of the young man, and he now sees the mountains filled with horses and filled with chariots of fire, and these were none other than the angelic beings of God there to protect the people of God. If you'll read the rest of the chapter, these angelic beings so blinded the Syrian army and took them into a place where they were utterly destroyed by the armies of Israel. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I want to speak to you this morning about the unseen realm of help that is given to a Christian. The ways that God is working for you that sometimes you may not even see with your own physical eye. When I think about God's unseen help for me, I think first and foremost about the Holy Spirit. I think about the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you are a Christian this morning, then you have been born again by the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life, and you were born again, changed from the inside out by His presence. Sometimes we say to little children, have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? We do not mean by that Jesus physically comes into their heart. We mean by that when they accept Jesus as their Savior, the Spirit of God indwells within them. Now, the Spirit of the living God is unseen, like the wind is unseen, but the effects of the Spirit of God are known to the heart and life of a believer. Notice, if you will, letter A, that He assures us with comfort. The Holy Spirit of God, when the enemy has me surrounded, and when I'm not sure why things are going the way they're going, it is the Holy Spirit that brings that blessed assurance to my heart. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds me that God is on my side. John 14, 16 says, as Jesus spoke, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it, notice this, seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Thank God the Comforter has come, and His name is the Holy Spirit. And the word Comforter there is speaking of the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside of us, the one who is our assistant, encourager, and helper. I thank God that from within my heart, there is comfort given by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But not only does He assure me with His comfort, but I also want you to know today, He assures me with His witness. He assures me with a witness deep within my heart. Please turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 this morning as we learn about the unseen helper called the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. I once had a lady of more of a Pentecostal persuasion say, why, you Baptists don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. I said, ma'am, I beg to differ with you. I was born again by the Holy Spirit of God. I must seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. Oh, Baptists believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to comfort us, and the Holy Spirit has come to give us an assuring witness within our heart. Now notice Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, when you were born again, you received the Spirit of adoption. That is, you were adopted as a son or daughter of God. You were placed into the family of God. As one songwriter said years ago, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been adopted into his family, and I cry Abba. That is the Hebrew word which means daddy or father. I cry out to a personal God, and he does not treat me like I'm an unwanted. He treats me as his very own. He gives assurance in my heart that I'm his child. I want to tell you something. You may have been mistreated by an earthly relative, but you have never been mistreated by Almighty God. He loves you. And he wants you to call him daddy. He wants you to know that he desires fellowship with you. Well, he assures us with comfort, and he assures us with an inner witness crying out, Abba, Father. But notice thirdly, that he assures us with hope. When we're surrounded by the enemy, it is the Spirit of God that gives us hope and courage. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, please. It says this, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. I like that verse. You know, there's just some things God doesn't want me to see, because if I saw it, it wouldn't be hope and faith anymore. God does not reveal everything to me. He wants me to trust him. And I thank God this morning that while I do not see the Holy Spirit, I know his working in my heart, and I have trusted in the word of God. I have been saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we have patience to wait for it. Now you say, Pastor Chappell, how can I have hope in something I cannot see? Well, let me tell you, friend, I have hope, first of all, in the word of God. My hope comes from the word of God. Notice in your notes, Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, catch it. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, at that moment, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why you cannot lose your salvation. If God seals it, brother, it's not going to break. And when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But the only reason that happened is because I heard the word of truth. And the word is what gives me my hope. My hope does not come from a denomination. My hope does not come from a man. My hope comes from the eternal, infallible, inerrant word of God. I have hope in his word. And I have hope in the indwelling Spirit. For when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, the Spirit of the living God took up presence within me, and he whispers to me hope and comfort and encouragement day by day. Romans 8:26 says it this way, back to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, there are times in your life when you're so overwhelmed. You're at the hospital and you've received a bad report. God has called a loved one home. You just lost your job. You don't even know how to pray the prayer. You don't even know what to say. But at those moments, the Holy Spirit helps me with groanings that cannot even be uttered. And the Spirit of God comes and he comforts and he encourages my heart. One little girl had a friend of hers at the house next door that passed away. And the little girl walked over upon hearing the news, and she went to visit the family. And she came back a little while later, and her dad said, sweetheart, why did you go over there? She said, well, I just wanted to try to comfort her mother. And the dad said, well, what did you do? And the little girl said, I just crawled up into her lap and cried with her. I'm glad that when my heart is heavy, there's someone in my heart who can cry with me, who can groan the utterings that I don't even know how to say, who helps me and who encourages me in my time of infirmity. The Spirit of God gives me the strength that I need. Oh, we need that help. We need that encouragement. I think of some men in this room who need it. I read this week that there was a survey taken. The top three most stressful things a man can do. Number one, fly a fighter plane into battle. Number two, give a speech before a large audience. And number three, go Christmas shopping. Oh, listen, there are times in your life when you just have to step back and say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. He's an unseen helper, but he's a helper indeed. I thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit. But I thank God, secondly, for the help of the unseen hosts. the help of the unseen hosts. Now, I want to speak to you this morning about the fact that God has helpers at your side that you have never seen before, but they are there. And the first category of the unseen host that I would bring to your attention are the ministering angels of God. The ministering angels of God. Now, there are many false teachings about angels, and there are many New Age books at the Borders bookstore and other places that sell all kinds of wicked craft and witchcraft. And some of these books are literally teaching that men and women should pray to the angels, and that we should, instead of praying to God, pray to the angels. Now, let me say, God did not create the angels to become objects of our worship. They are not to be prayed to. May I say that just because a religion such as Mormonism was founded because of an angel, quote, Moroni, who came and spoke a revelation, that does not mean that it is a legitimate religion. The fact of the matter is, one third of the angels are busy doing the devil's work right now. That's why the Bible clearly says, though you hear from another message from the angels, it ought not to be put on the same level with the scriptures. So when we speak of the ministering angels, we're not saying that we pray to angels to get help. Well, then how do the angels help the children of God? I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. Hebrews 1, 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. So we see of the angelic beings that they are worshiping God and that they are ministers of a flame of fire. Verse 8, but unto the Son, he saith, please capture this verse, but unto the Son, capital S, unto Jesus Christ, he saith, and this is God the Father speaking. Unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now capture this. Here we see God the Father speaking to God the Son and calling him God. Amen. Thy throne, O God. Whether it be the Jehovah Witness or the Mormons or some other cults of the day, you will find this, that they believe in a different Christ. They talk about Jesus. They use similar terminology. But they do not believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God. They deny that fact about him. But I show you in the Bible this morning where God himself refers to Jesus Christ as God. And as an eternal God, he was not a man who became God. He is a God who took the form of a man in order that we might be saved. What a wonderful verse. Now, that's not the main verse I wanted to show you, but it was too good to pass up. Amen. So let's come down to verse 13 for the sake of time. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? By the way, the answer is none of them. Jesus is at the right hand. And so we pray in Jesus' name, not in the angels' name. But what do the angels do? Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, we are the heirs of salvation, and the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister and to serve at God's direction the people of God. So when we consider these unseen helpers, we see the place of the angels in the Bible. They are created beings without a fleshly body. Their place is to worship God. They are not equal to the Godhead, but they are ministering spirits, ministering praise at the throne of God at this very moment and ministering to the people of God as God directs. The purpose of the angel is to minister. And the word minister here is the same word from which we derive the word deacon. It is the word diakonos. It means to wait on tables, to serve, to help others, to be a servant. And so the angels carry out the orders of God. Psalm 103 and verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels not only carry out the orders of God, the angels praise God. Psalm 148 and verse 2, praise ye him, all ye his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts. And by the way, the angels protect the people of God. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 91 in verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. Thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now, I thank God today for his unseen helpers. I thank God for the Holy Spirit who encourages my heart and comforts and assures my heart. I thank God for the angels that have been given charge over me. I remember one time driving out to the Coachella Valley, and I was pastoring a small church there, and I preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Terry and I were Bible college students. We were poor as a church mice and just barely getting by, but it was an opportunity to preach. And we went out and preached there and loved every minute of it. And we'd come back late on Sunday night, do our homework, and go to college the next morning, and go to work that afternoon. And on the way back, we were driving along in our car. I had purchased a used car from a dear Christian who just wanted to help me. Bad mistake. It was an orange Honda hatchback wagon. It had vinyl seats. It had an air conditioning system that worked about 3 days, and then it broke. And we were driving back in the heat of that desert, and that car began to sputter and sputter, and we pulled over. I'm not trying to act to get sympathy. I'm telling you the honest truth. We didn't have $1 to our name. Our credit card was to the max. We had just had our first baby. We were just making it through Bible college. We pulled over, and I did not know what to do. I was frustrated. The car was broken. We were out near Cabazon, out where those crazy dinosaurs sit out there at the side of Interstate 10. And I mean, we were in a bad world right there. And I just began to pray, God, we need some help. I'll never forget that day. A family pulled up, a husband and wife behind us. They didn't speak much to us. They just said, come, get in our car. Within just a few minutes, we're in the back seat of a beautiful Cadillac. They drove us just a few minutes away. The man went and he spoke to some people inside a gas station. Before I knew what was happening, there was a tow truck going back towards our car. Before I knew what was happening, that dear man shook my hand and there was something there. I could feel it. And he said, you're the man that preaches. You're the man that preaches at such and so place. He said, God bless you. And I was flabbergasted. Someone was getting the car. The money was in the hand. I looked up. Before I could say even thank you, the man was gone. He and his wife, the Cadillac was going down the road. My wife and I went in. We had a meal. Before the meal was done, the car was fixed. It was filled with gas. It was on the parking lot. We made our way home. I don't know who that man was, but I know God sent him. I'm telling you, my friend, time and again, I've seen God touch hearts. I've seen God change things. I've seen God get in the middle of situations. And I believe sometimes, whether we know it or not, his ministering angels have come to protect us and to direct us and to help us along. But you know, it's not only his ministering angels that are unseen, but I believe, secondly, the praying Christians that you'll never see. I was meeting with one of our missionaries this week, and he said, Brother Chapel, I need to talk to you. And he had some prayer requests. And he said, I minister in the Ivory Coast in Africa. He said, last year we were going through a turnover of our government. And he said, every day there was shooting in the streets. And on a few occasions, he said, they stopped my family in our car. And they gathered round us, bandits with knives and guns. And he said, only by the grace of God did we get through a few of those situations. He said, we lived in constant fear. He said, we received no mail. For days and days and weeks, he said, we wondered if we would live. We wondered if we'd get out of the country. He said, finally, the tensions eased and we got our first little bit of mail. He said, I opened the letter on the top of the stack. He said, the letter said, dear missionary, said, during the last several weeks, every morning I wake up and I think about you. And I've been praying for you day after day after day. By the way, the letter was from Mrs. Donnell Williams, one of our church members, now with the Lord. Every day she'd prayed for this man. I do not say this to sound mystical. I believe with all of my heart it may be that that man and his family are alive and serving God today because he had an unseen helper in Lancaster, California, getting on her knees and praying that God would protect the missionary and that God would help him. And I'm saying to you this morning, when the devil says no one cares, when the devil says no one's there, when the devil says you're not going to make it one more day, there's an unseen helper praying for you. There's the Spirit of God living in you. There are ministering angels watching over you. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and you and God make a majority. And if God be for us, then who can be against us today?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.